time to get the view from the other side. He is the radio analyst. He'll be at Autzen calling Ducks Spartans alongside Justin Allegri for KLIV 1590 AM. Follow him on Twitter. The handle is at KRichardson46. Welcome in Kevin Richardson. Kevin, appreciate the time very much, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great, Steve. Thanks for having me on. Excited to talk football.
So usually I ask our first-time guests, you know, how they landed their gig, but you have a really interesting story having played for the late Jack Elway at Stanford, part of that 86 Gator Bowl team. Many fans might remember people like Brad Muster, Ed McCaffrey. So I'm going to let you brag a little bit. What could you tell us about visiting Autzen with the Cardinal during that 86 season and having some big-time success against a future Pro Bowl NFL quarterback?
Yeah, I guess everybody can stumble into something if they stay at it long enough. 86 for Stanford, as you mentioned, was the Gator Bowl year. I think we opened up 4-1, lost to the Huskies the week before, made the trip to Autzen Stadium. Because of an injury, I got plugged in at starter at inside linebacker. There was a fellow named Dave Wyman, who was the other inside linebacker who played for the Seahawks for many years, and I think finished up his career in Denver. But got the start, and I think I had 13 tackles on the day, had an interception and a pass deflection. And the part I remember most being my first start, I was 21 years old that day. I didn't tell anybody it was my birthday. I didn't need any more pressure. And when the bus started into the old gravel parking lot that I think sits right where your practice facility is now, I remember thinking, wow, I hope this bus can get like a flat tire because I'm not sure I'm ready to go. But it all worked out and was a good day for us. And then 2 years later, we came back. I was checking that score today, 7-3. I don't even remember that game, but man, that's crazy. Rich Brooks and Jack Elway squaring off, and you put a total of 10 points on the board. Kind of an interesting number.
That's amazing. But I also want to say, is it safe to say the level of competition at your home? You have a son at Stanford playing for one of the top coaches in America, David Shaw. What could you tell us about Jack, you know, the kind of player he is, and if as a linebacker, do you hold it against him if you became a quarterback?
You know, happy for him that he became a quarterback. The story on that one is my wife is her maiden name was Smith, Teresa Smith, and she's actually in the Hall of Fame at Stanford as a volleyball player, two-time All-American, Pac-10 Player of the Year at the time, I guess we'd call it. But she's the athlete of the family, that's for sure. And my oldest Jack, as you mentioned, if anybody's a fan of the Pac-12 Network, you probably saw the Stanford spring game, and he was the only quarterback available this spring and was able to earn a scholarship. And, you know, he's excited about traveling. And, of course, they're at home this week against Davis, and then they'll be on the road next week against the Ducks. But, I don't know, I'm just really proud of Jack in terms of he went there as a walk-on, which means you've really got to pass the muster academically to get in. And, boy, that's something I don't think I could have ever done. And then he stayed with it. You know, he was buried, you know, fifth, sixth on the depth chart. You know, looked like he was never going to get a chance to show what he could do, but, you know, made the decision to stay with it, kept his mouth shut, kept doing what he was supposed to do. And the clouds kind of parted after the bowl game with a couple of injuries. And he shot right in there and had a great spring. You know, so that's just a good lesson to all these quarterbacks that just transfer all over the country, it seems like, and never really stay in one place and learn the system. And Jack had a little bit of an advantage. He played under center in high school, which, you know,
sure,
most quarterbacks don't.
Right.
And I think that helped him a lot in the spring. And, you know, he's a great student, which really helps because you got to be able to do both when you're there. Yeah, that was a feel good story and really proud of him.
I've got to ask you one more personal question because I always brag how I met my wife. She was caller number 5 in a radio contest I was having back in 1992.
I love it.
But according to Jack's bio in Stanford, you have one of the greatest proposal stories ever. So apparently on one knee at dinner, not enough for you. How did you pull this one off?
Well, you know, going back to how you meet, though, that's even better. She had twisted her ankle, and you know, I was trolling in the training room. And, of course, you know, Stanford in the 80s, you know, men's and women's sports used the same training room and met her there. And then the proposal, yeah, we got a plane fly over at big game and after I was done a couple years out. And, it said, Teresa, marry me, Kevin, beat Cal. And it was against, obviously, the big game against Cal. I wanted to put beat Cal first, but I wasn't sure that would go over too well. The other part of it is, remember, there's no iPhone back then to snap a picture. So sure. I remember I bought some film for a couple of former volleyball players and gave them the film. They were the only two people that literally knew that we were getting engaged. I didn't tell anybody else. And I gave them the film, and I said, look, get on that moped, go around the stadium, follow that plane, and take 24 pictures. Of course, they had, had the things that you have at a tailgate. They were well-oiled. They gave me the film back. They're excited, emotional. It's a great day, and I get the film developed. Well, they follow the Peninsula Toyota plane around for 24 exposures. So we have one picture of it, somebody sitting in the stands that we kind of knew through a work relationship, came to work on Monday and told Teresa, he said, God, look what I saw in the air. And she said, oh, my God, we don't have a picture of it. So that is the one picture we have of the plane flying over. But, yeah, that's the best play I've ever made in big game history right there.
Oh, no, that's in the Hall of Fame. Forget about it. I guess we need to talk about the Spartans. A lot of folks remember the 2012 team, David Fales, Noel Grigsby. You know, they won 11 games, and then Mike McIntyre left for Colorado. And now, a rough first season for Coach Brent Brennan, but how would you describe the optimism around the program that he's the guy that can get this straightened out?
Well, I'm sure plenty of your listeners know Brent from his Oregon State
sure.
days. I think everybody, has high expectations for what they want to happen there. The reality is things have definitely bottomed, so you're building from here on out. I think Brent's a guy that brings a certain amount of energy to that job that you need. You mentioned Coach McIntyre. He's far and away the most impressive coach I saw in my tenure in terms of being a radio guy. And, I think that's starting to show at Colorado. He's a guy that was just all about, playing defense well, be great on special teams, and then find an offensive coordinator and get some points on the board. With Brent, it's a young staff, facilities. You struggle a little bit there, but the one advantage you have is, the economy that you're in the middle of and the Silicon Valley and the weather that you have. So they've been able to recruit to that. I think from a recruit standpoint, probably, another year away from being where they want to be, where it's, their kind of guy in there. But the thing I would say after last week's game in Washington State, I was actually really impressed. I thought, boy, there wasn't a lot of drop-off after losing Luke Falk. Minshew is good, not as good as Falk, and I don't mean to say that, but as a team, I thought Washington State was pretty darn good. And I think the thing that we saw with the Spartans last week is, they kept throwing elbows till the end and working hard at it, and I think that's something that had gone out the window, and I think that's what Brent has brought to the table for San Jose State.
Now, Brent's an offensive coach. You mentioned his time at Oregon State, but he's never been a coordinator. His current coordinator, Kevin McGivin, was with OSU last year. So whose offense is it? Who calls the plays? And for unfamiliar fans, how would you describe the offense stylistically?
Yeah, so Kevin McGivin did 3 years up there at Oregon State before he came down and worked for Brennan. McGivin also worked at Utah State, which gives him that, he kind of understands the Mountain West Conference, if you will. From my understanding, he's calling the plays. Brent can obviously overrule along the way. I think the thing about McGivin, when you look at his numbers, even when he was at Oregon State, if he's got a good running back, then they'll lean on the run a little harder. If he's got a good quarterback, then obviously he'll put the ball in the air a little bit more. What you'll see from San Jose is that they'll try to throw the ball. His big talking point is always that free access throw. If you've got a guy on a comeback at 5 yards, get it to him, get your 5 yards plus a couple after catch, and use that to kind of spread the field out and then give yourself a chance to run underneath it. The best running back for San Jose State, Tyler Nevins, he went down in the opener. And we won't see him this weekend. I think he'll be back later in the year. I think the official word was he was concussed. So that kind of puts San Jose at a disadvantage with their run game, which, they were already struggling there. So I think you'll see the ball in the air more than you will see it on the ground.
talking San Jose State football with radio analyst Kevin Richardson. Obviously, the big fellas up front got to protect that passer and at least give them an opportunity to run the ball. They struggled a little bit against the Cougs. I know Joe Bernardi was a grad assistant here, now the line coach, run game coordinator.
Right.
Looks like they got experience at left guard in Troy Kowalski. What could you tell us about this line and, you know, how they're hopefully coming together?
Well, you said it right. You know, Bernardi, an up-and-comer, obviously his dad, a coach on the staff at Colorado with Coach McIntyre, a guy that grew up in football, his brother-in-law coaches at UNLV, I believe, is where he's at now. And I always make the joke with him, do you guys step out of the room to make recruiting calls at Thanksgiving break at the family get-together? But, you know, he's a guy that, you know, grew up an offensive lineman. Dad was an offensive lineman. You know, it's a special dude that wants to, you know, be in the mix and coach offensive line. That's why I think, you know, it's so interesting, Cristobal at Oregon, having a guy that, you know, his roots are as an offensive lineman and as an offensive line coach. But, you know, they're trying to put it together. I thought last year that was probably the strength of the team. That might sound a little bit funny with the record with being what it was. But they had some veterans that played pretty hard. They've got a walk-on that earned a scholarship at center, and he plays really hard. But again, for them, I think it's just, you know, they got to get a few more snaps under their belt, get that timing right, and that sounds funny for offensive linemen, but boy, there's a lot to that when you're handling that pass rush. And, you know, it's a work in progress, but again, that's one of the position groups where I actually think, you know, when you watch Bernardi and what he does and having played at Fresno State. And it's funny, I've done this long enough to having watched Bernardi play at Fresno State, by the way.
Right.
You know, it's going in the right direction, but, you know, a long ways to go still.
A couple final thoughts for Kevin Richardson. The defense year two under Derek Odom also ties to Oregon State. Actually played for Jim Fossil and Ron McBride at Utah. So how is he progressing his second season, and maybe what are some of the traits that would stand out when you watch his defense?
Well, you know, I always call him Derek Odom the riverboat gambler, in that, you know, he'll get in a position a lot of times with a, you know, last year, obviously the issue was turnovers and a short field and sudden change, and they kind of get out there and play defense. And the one part that I feel like he has handled pretty well is not ever really complaining about those short fields. You never hear him complain. And then the other part is he will kind of throw a little bit of everything at you. And it seems like, you know, you watch a lot of coordinators and they'll get wed to one way or the other that they like to handle things. And he'll bring the house at you, or he'll sit back and play some zone coverage. He'll really just kind of roll through it and see what starts to work. And if something works, he'll stay with it. And, you know, he's been flexible. He's always an upbeat guy. I always kind of like him because he's about my era. So if I make a joke, he kind of gets it. But, you know, a guy that's working real hard to be a good college coordinator, and he's got, you know, great experience from a coaching standpoint and from a playing standpoint. And he's got him coming around, you know, lost guys on the back end that were really good players. And then Frank Ginda, linebacker, was a guy that had 178 tackles last year. And that was, you know, what, 18% of the overall tackles for the team. So struggling to replace those guys, but the guys up front, Bryson Bridges, Owen Roberts, and Solosi Latu, they're returners. It was trial by fire for them last year, but that's a couple of, or actually three seniors that kind of, quote, anchor that defense, which, you know, you guys are putting up 60 games, so the plate is full on Saturday at Autzen Stadium, that's for sure.
And lastly, I always like to see how people view the Ducks outside of our Oregon bubble. Obviously, they were a power for years, slipped up a little bit, rose a tad last year. So as you watch and from those you speak with, kind of what's popping about this edition of the Ducks that you're going to face this week?
Well, that's a really great question. You know, I kind of know it from the late 80s when they, quote, bought their way into the bowl game and got things rolling, and then here comes Nike and here comes the facilities and all those different things. The thing that jumps out to me looking at this Oregon team, and not to play ahead into next week, but that will be really an interesting matchup, because when you hear your head coach talk about being physical, you hear him talk about, I think it was Tuesday's practice was the most physical practice they had all year. You watch what they're doing with strength and conditioning. I mean, they want to play fast, but they want to kick your teeth in, and they're doing the things that you have to do to be that tough and physical team. That's what really jumps out at me. I think, you know, previous years it was play fast and, you know, get the ball out there into space and do all these things. And boy, with this team, you look at that offensive line, you look at that defense with Coach Leavitt, who I think is probably one of the best in the business. I think that was a big reason McIntyre had such great success. I guess it was, you know, two years ago when he played for the Pac-12 South title. I think it's being big and physical and ornery in a good way. And, you know, playing really hard-nosed football. So it'll be interesting to see if that Southeast Conference mindset, if you will, you know, can stick and if he can make it work. And I think, you know, your biggest barometer for that will probably be next week when you got a big physical team that comes in and likes to run the ball.
Sure. Folks, he's got a heck of a story, and don't hold a neighborhood Olympics against the Richardsons. Follow him on Twitter. The handle is at KRichardson46. Hey, thanks a million for your time and insight, KR. Really appreciate it. Travel safe and enjoy your stay in Eugene.
I will do it, and again, impressive the coverage you guys give to the Ducks up there in Oregon. Just really, really neat stuff if you're a fan of college football. Thanks for having me.
All right, have a good one. All right, that's good stuff. That's I don't know if I've enjoyed many interviews more than that.